Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, a podcast on the edge of consciousness where science, spirit, and the unknown collide. What if 2026 is the year that the cosmic button gets pushed to reset everything? And the stars are already revealing who will rise, who will struggle, how to position yourself ahead of the curve. This is one of my favorite subjects since I'm a little kid. I was born with a hunger for astrology. True story, as a young kid in my family, my mom, our gifts in my family were books. My mom would take me and my brother to bookstores, my brother David, and say, "What book do you want?" And there was me, tarot, astrology. That's what I was into. So today on Dare to Dream, the world-renowned astrologer, David Palmer, aka the Lion King, breaks down the most important astrological alignments of our lifetime, including the rare Saturn-Neptune conjunction in Aries, and exactly how you can use astrology to make smarter choices, better decisions about your future starting right now. So stay with us. This is an amazing episode. David, it is so great to have you. Welcome, welcome to Dare to Dream.
Thanks for having me on. Super happy to be here today.
Yep. It is a great, great subject. I think let's just start with, is this a crazy year or what? I know I feel the energy. I felt it earlier than this year was supposed to start. Also knowing fire horse and Chinese astrology, very fast, lots of opportunities, but lots of needing to align. What is your take in general of the year that we're in?
My take is it's taken 6,400 years for things to finally align. You mentioned Chinese astrology, right? So the fire horse has that energy that's moving fast, taking that leap and going for things. Well, Chinese astrology and Western astrology or even Vedic astrology, they're not even similar at all. There's no connection really at all. Right. But to see all of the systems coming into this same alignment has taken that long, 6,400 years. So this is a big moment. To say crazy, I would say maybe, yeah, the old idea of what crazy is. To me, it's like, finally, we've been waiting so long for things to actually shift this complete programming of this world that is nowhere near close to what, you know, we truly are as human beings. And even what is a human being and where do we come from is really the big question. And that's the door that's opening that's going to change everything forever. And, you know, the astrology is aligned into a way that allows us to finally look at this reality and be like, was that even reality? Or was that just like the setup to get us to this moment where we really start to reveal our true nature, our spiritual nature, especially? I mean, it's definitely got some challenges because people connected to the old matrix, I'll call it, that's falling apart completely. And we're actually here. Being an astrologer for almost 20 years now, it's very difficult when every year you get people forecasts and it's like, yeah, that moment is a minute away, right? Like, or there's a lot of great moments this year, but in the back of my soul, I'm like, we're not at the moment yet. This is the year where I could actually say, like, we're at the moment. Thank you. Nice. Finally.
Incredible, 64,000 years. And when you say that
6,400,
thank you for correcting me. 6,400, big difference. You being known as the Leo King, so your sun sign is Leo?
Yes, and my ascendant as well.
Oh, wow, powerful. Wow. My ascendant is Leo. My dog is a Leo. Yeah, I have Leos everywhere in my life. I love Leo people. And so is this, I'm just trying to feel the energy of being a Leo at this time because you were born for opportunities, right? You were born for the spotlight. You were born to be in front of people, to have a message for the masses out there. So that's good, your position, but is it also challenging for you right now as a Leo?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and that could be an easy way to bridge what's going on for people is like the reason why it's so important this year is 6,400 years ago, Saturn and Neptune made their conjunction at the beginning of the astrology chart, zero Aries. We just had that on February 20th. It took that long. So 4361 BC was the last time that happened. Now, that's an important moment because that's when we actually in prehistoric history to look back and be like, hey, where can we relate to this? That's the beginning of where humanity is being defined. Like, who is the tribes? Who are these people? This is before all the religions that we're seeing in our lives that we know of today. This is before them all. So it's like these people migrated from this area of the earth over to here, and that's about it. That's like the history. But to me, it's almost like, okay, you humans start moving around and figuring it out. Now, if you look at the world today, it's kind of the same thing. Like, how are we going to figure this all out? It seems like it's unknown at more than ever. It seems like it's got challenges. But I think it's a beautiful moment because it's a redefining moment and a true defining moment. But as a Leo, Pluto's just went into Aquarius in the last couple of years, 2023, 2024. It said, all right, I'm going to stay here. 248-year cycle for Pluto. We're going to see Neptune that just finally went into Aries, and that's a 165-year cycle. So last time was 1861, the Civil War. And then the other one is Uranus coming into Gemini, which is going to be April 25th. And that's an extreme one because that's the fourth turning. So every 84 years, Uranus comes into Gemini. So 1776, Declaration of Independence. You do the next one, the Civil War. You do the next one, World War II. And now this one.
Oh my gosh,
Right?
that's
So.
fascinating. And we can all, as we're listening to you, see what's going out on the landscape right now of the world.
Yes.
This makes sense. May I ask you, this particular degree that you're talking about is considered a powerful reset point. When you combine these two planets, Saturn's structure, Neptune's spirituality, what kind of a new world energy does that create?
I'm glad you bring that up. So zero Aries is the start of the astrology zodiac because that's where the equinox happens, right? So when the sun reaches every March 20th, it's the exaltation of the sun, right? So we see the sun be in the northern hemisphere more light during every day than having it as night, right? It's the big shift. And so when the sun comes into Aries, it's always a big pop. We call it the exaltation in the essential dignities of astrology. Well, they have Saturn, that structure, rules, and also wanting to have structures that have different ways of control. But it also is a place where responsibility is met. Neptune's no responsibility. It's the second farthest planet out. It's got its back to the sun. It's got dreams. It's got idealizations, but it also could be completely lost. So they're very incompatible. But together, they help each other. Neptune says, hey, maybe you're too serious, Saturn. And Saturn goes, hey, Neptune, I can make that dream come true. So at the very beginning of the zodiac, it is a reset point of we have to erase very Neptunian. We have to erase this identity of what we've called humanity because think of every story, think of every religion, think of all these things like. When you keep going back to it, it's just one big zeitgeist, right? It's like, oh, they're stealing the idolization of this god and making it this god's name and twisting this book and twisting that book. And then if you look at the structure of this world, it's not really meant to help people anymore. People aren't helping people. People don't even go say hi to their neighbors anymore, right? They're afraid to ask for sugar down the street. Or even walking down the street, you say hi and people look the other way, or most people have their heads down their phones, I would say. They're praying to their phone now. It's kind of weird. So, there definitely has to be a new point that allows us to get also that very Aries fire, right? That that energy of courage, that energy of defining things, that energy of bringing the spark back into our lives. And it's important to look at Saturn Neptune because it's been with 6 years since 2020 of the biggest conjunctions all to happen in the smallest amount of time with big planets. Saturn and Pluto 2020, Jupiter Pluto 2020 three times, Jupiter Saturn, which is the big one, December 21st of 2020. And then the list kept going on. Jupiter Uranus, Jupiter Neptune. Like there's just been the biggest planetary, we call it conjunctional astrology that comes from the 14th century. And that's what the astrologers used to predict the Black Death to the Pope back in 1345, 2 years before it started in 1347. It's the same astrology, same place, too.
Shifts. You are talking about big cultural, societal shifts. Do you have a sense of what is coming down the pike? When you look at the star layout right now, David, does it tell you precisely, or are there just indications of where we may be headed and what kind of choices we have to make?
Well, I think there's like always going to be a cap on how far anybody can see fully, right? So as far as precise, I can get astrology gives us exact preciseness, but there also comes this point to where it's like we have to evolve ourselves. Right. So I'll go to as precise as I can get to where there's this cap that gets us to where the exciting part is the unknown. Like Uranus to me is the most exciting this year because it's crossing over the seven sisters in the Pleiades. And I've always been connected to Palladian channel, Palladian channeling and astrology. That's like where I begun my whole astrology. And so Uranus being here, it's allowing humanity to find its origins. It's allowing us to really find out who are we? What is the big question? If you think about the big question that no matter what you do spiritually or even anybody who's not spiritual is, what am I doing here? Who am I? What are we? Like, you know, Uranus is always going to bring up the most wild, intricate, scientific, far the weirdest out in our minds. And Gemini question. Well, the crossing over the seven sisters, that goes to origin stories. That goes to like, where's the origins of humanity? If you actually look, Lumeria, Lumerians. But, you know, some people, a lot of people don't know about this stuff, right? But if you actually see with what's happening with disclosure, right? You see that disclosure community and you can't stop it, right? Like people who've kept their mouths shut for all these years are starting to come up. You're starting to find all these ancient relics and ancient texts and all this stuff come out as well, showing that what you were told about your religion, what you were told about this, there's actually this scroll, or there's actually this book of the dead that we just found in Egypt that we haven't revealed everything yet, or we found this tomb. So there's all these things that are popping up, big questions, even how we communicate. It's like memes and emojis now. Like who wants to talk normally? And that's actually the increase in society awareness. If you look at our ancients, the peak of them in their society was always in hieroglyphics. We're going back to that way. So believe it or not, the old way of writing in text and scripts is kind of lower, if that makes sense. Then you add Neptune and Aries, which the last time was the Civil War, and I know people are like, but you follow every pattern prior, it's 165 year cycle, you get to really powerful points. Like after the witch trials, people start going, you know what? Yeah, maybe we've gone a little too far. Neptune and Aries was after the Salem witch trials. Neptune and Pisces right before was the Salem witch trials. And you go the time before that, that's when Henry VIII left the Catholic Church and created the Church of England. Like, no, I don't need to have this Pope over me. So Neptune and Aries gives us this energy where we could see what is wrong spiritually. Wow. And how to go forward in a better direction, right? So if you think about the Civil War, no, having slaves is not a good thing. And then saying it's morally right because of God saying it's morally right is not right. People forget that in the Civil War, the South was like, no, God is the one who's telling us to do this, and we can make a better life for them. And so abolitionists were looked at as, you know, crazy when they were not. They were like, we're not going to make religion about this. and we're going to do what's just spiritually correct, like about human dignity. So Neptune and Aries is great for the spiritual warriors, per se, the ones that are for doing the thing that we know isn't right, isn't good. Aries represents being the hero, doing what's right, what's good, the start of things. So then you add Pluto and Aquarius, and that adds the technological aspect to all this because we're going to see Uranus and trine to Pluto. They made their conjunction in 1964, and that was the hippie movement, the beginning of it. And it was this energy of like bringing humanity to things. It happened in Virgo. But what's so funny is they didn't realize back then it's going to be through technology that we get through that cycle that they've been pushing since the 60s. So to me, it's like through technology, through these discoveries, and through really being able to not be afraid and to be bold enough to say, no, this isn't good for humanity. It's not good for people. And you can't Neptune it and just subconsciously keep living in that, like, oh, I'll push that to the side. Like, it's okay to just bomb everybody and whatever. It's no big deal and get excited about that. It's like, no, that's not what we're here to be doing. So I'm very optimistic, even though it looks crazy because the astrology is on humanity's side and for people, but we have to be bold enough, right? So it's like the question is, are people going to accept the gift that's been given where to be bold? To be willing to make all these discoveries, ask bigger questions in yourself, and use these technologies that have come out, not be afraid. Wherever Pluto comes, we're terrified. So when Pluto came into Capricorn, everybody was like, no, I will never work a big job. Then by the end, everybody was like, oh my gosh, my corporate job, where did it go? I need it. So Pluto in Aquarius is the fear of technology, but as it will continue to go through for the next, 18 plus years, everybody's going to be like, oh, wait, actually, I need this technology. I need this. So, through all these things, I see the greatest shot ever. And also for us to find some of the biggest questions that we all have been waiting to get answered, even though I think internally we know them, but there's more to that than even we can internally know.
That's so powerful, everything you shared. And I really appreciate all of that overview because you are, in an astrological sense, absolutely confirming everything I hear from the extraordinary people I have on this show who channel. And so a lot of the extraterrestrial or collective beings that are coming through talking about what's happening on Earth, and you're describing it through the planets. And they've also said, sort of, hold on to your seat. The next few weeks, the next few months are going to be powerful. There's going to be things rising up to be seen that are uncomfortable to know about. In my heart, I always feel like that's what we need right now. Because how do we change anything if we don't know it exists? So the underbelly has to be looked at, the ugly has to be looked at so we can make new choices. So this is like the global stage. And when you talk about astrology as a timing tool rather than just personality descriptions, how can we practically use astrology to choose the right moment, a right moment for a career move, for a relationship, for a breakup, for a big life pivot, for all the things? How do we know where in the chart to be navigating?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different places. I would say the most potent stuff when you can look at your life is when, depending on your chart, wherever the eclipses are. So, a good example is you're a Leo ascendant, as you said, correct? So, the
Correct.
eclipses have just begun now in Aquarius and Leo. So, whenever the eclipses come into either your sun or your, especially your ascendant, right? And they come in the first and seventh axis, which is for you right now, because of course, Aquarius is your seventh house. And so the North Node solar eclipse just happened about a month ago, because we're about to have the first new moon after in Pisces in the next couple of days. So it's going to affect your career, your home life, your relationships, and who you are. Those are the big turning points. And it's at about, it's 19 years for the nodes to come around and 9 years for them to flip. So it's like we come into these places where, especially if it's about our life and our relationships, yeah, every 9 years we're going to have big eclipses there. And what's nice about eclipses is you can always see the patterns of the eclipses. We'll have sometimes the same eclipse in a 19-year window. Like, for example, the lunar eclipse we just had here, that was here at the beginning of 2026 in Virgo. The same exact one happened in 2007. Same degree, everything. So there's always those patterns, and especially if it's affecting you in the same cardinal points, meaning your midheaven, your IC, your ascendant, your descendant, those are always key indicators. These are going to be the areas that we actually wait for in our life, like in tarot, the Wheel of Fortune, to see it really turn. Same thing goes with bigger planets, though. I'd watch the outer planets, right? So it's like if you're getting a Pluto aspect, don't believe it's the worst thing, because actually it will happen if you do, right? Whereas with Uranus, the thing you think will happen, it will totally be what you weren't thinking about. With Neptune, it's the ego complete washout, right? Like no matter what, Neptune's going to wash your ego away. It's going to literally just say, oh, you thought you were on your high horse. Here you go. Bye-bye. And it will make you sometimes for some people depressed, or for others, it'll make you feel wiped out. But I would say that those outer planets, they affect us all the time. They're very slow and they take time. Of course, whenever we see Venus or Mars retrograde as well, or any retrograde, but really Venus, Mars retrogrades. I'm not a big Jupiter, like, oh, Jupiter's here. You get good luck, you get candy. Let's not forget that Jupiter was actually originally Baal in the old traditions, and that Jupiter as well, when it comes to relationships, he cheated on his wife and got a lot of people pregnant. So I'm not a Jupiter pusher. There's a lot of astrologers rely on, like, oh, where's Jupiter? I'll make people feel better today. It's like, well, you get your hopes up and then you get usually less than you expect, right? So I like Jupiter to surprise me with gifts opposed to and learn knowledge and use it as where am I needing to pay more attention to this space and be open more instead of expectation. I think with anything, astrology teaches you to stop having expectation and exactly how it's going to look, but understanding the awareness of where to place in the different parts of our awareness, our frequencies and our vibrations, being like, hey, I need to pay attention to, am I open enough in how my career is going right now? That's the gift in itself. Or, oh, you know what? It's asking me to understand my self-worth more now and actually lay my cards down and put my boundaries up if I need to. Maybe that's where my deeper issue is. So, you know, to me, that's where the astrology does channel the better things we want in our life, because it requires the responsibility for us to actually apply it into our lives. We can't just, you know, sit around and just think everything's just happening to me and I don't do anything. You know?
Listening to you talk about all of that, I have something I'm very curious about. My chart, I feel like, is a little complicated in the sense that I have a lot of water, right? Sun sign is Cancer, moon is Scorpio. So there's water. And then there's a lot of fire. I've got a Leo ascending. My career is in Aries. My relationships are in Gemini, etc. And I think of a few other Aries. Now, on the one hand, I thank God for the Leo Aries because it allows me to do what I came here to do. Without it, I would be a homebody. I wouldn't be social. I wouldn't want to be on stage, all the things. And the Aries gives me that I'm going to get this done. And whatever I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do. I really appreciate all of them. And Gemini gives me that very chatty, friendly kind of love to meet people, love to connect. At the same time, I think about all of them sitting at a round table. And I think about all these very, very deep, watery signs, and then these very, like, out there fiery signs. How does somebody find cohesiveness within themselves, to navigate? There are times that that Cancerian really takes over. I just need to be alone. I need to
Well,
retreat.
especially a Cancerian who has a moon in Scorpio, which a Leo ascendant is going to put that at the bottom of the chart. So that moon likes to be a home buddy, right? So it's like, even though Cancers like to be home buddies, you're born in the middle of the morning, right? Like, right as the dawn happen. So your actual sun in Cancer is more pointed towards what am I doing with my life spiritually and with others and how to help and do all that. So you're more of the helper, like, wanted. Reach out spiritually and look at that. But that moon in Scorpio is like, hold on, I need to nest and recharge and regenerate. Scorpio is regeneration more than transformation. right? Because it deals with how we actually procreate, how we receive in our lives. So when you have that moon, it might be in the third, it might be in the fourth, depending. If you use whole sign, it's in the fourth. But it's like, okay, it doesn't matter the positions, honestly. It's about how am I uniquely set up? We're all unique. So for you, it's like you carry a lot of weight at the top of your chart. You're born in the morning. I already know this without you giving me anything. You just told me a couple of placements. So it's like you got that Aries ascendant or midheaven. You got the Leo ascendant. So you got Venus and Gemini because you brought up relationships. You didn't say Venus, but I'm like, okay, she's got Venus and Gemini. It's got to be close to the sun always. All right. You have all this energy that you're putting out that you're always wanting to understand. You need to regenerate. That moon in Scorpio is like, that is where my boundary is. Like, hey, I'm not going out tonight because I have to do this. I have to regenerate. I have to do this. And then that Cancer gets to feel, oh, good. I got taken care of. I took care of myself. Now I can go be my best person I can out there in the world. Now that's a basic part, but like, it's always there working for us. There is no bad placement, even though the moon in Scorpio is supposed to be the worst, right? The fall position. Well, if you're not using it, if you're not regenerating correctly, right? Because moon in Scorpio can be extremely passionate and not want to let go of anything emotionally. So sometimes, maybe for you, maybe sometimes you become the homebody too much. It's just learning, like, hey, I have enough energy. I can go do this, right? Instead of like, oh no, I need a little bit more. It's like you have to be honest with yourself. Like, can I? Yeah, I can. Even though it'd be nice to just chill right now. Okay, I gotta go. It's everything's working for us. But of
It's
course,
amazing.
I'm working with just like little info, but it's like the way you would understand your midheaven more would be like, where's your Mars? Because Aries, Mars is the ruler of Aries. So it's like where your Mars is how you're gonna understand your career better.
Yeah.
So dispositing is what it's called, dispositorship. So it's like being a Leo ascendant, you have a sun in Cancer. I'm assuming it's in the 12th house or right there in the 11th. So it's like, okay, that sun gets disposited as the ascendant ruler. So it's like whenever that sun gets hit, it's affecting your whole identity and that Leo persona. Whenever that sun's being hit by aspects, you had Pluto opposition it. Are you a June or July baby?
June 27th.
Oh, that's my son's birthday.
It's birthday.
It's a great day. Yeah, 5 degrees. Okay. So you had Pluto opposition early. You had it in 2011 into 2012 for you was probably one of your bigger wake up moments in your life, especially around being like, I gotta go do this. And there was probably like, I gotta let go of things where I'm trying to help too many people and even romantic stories shifting for you at that time extremely. But yeah.
Huge. Huge.
But
All of
I
it.
could do it without a birthday or anything.
That's amazing. That's really helpful. And that is so apropos what you just said. And, you know, thankfully, and I, you know, people are listening will see themselves in this. I am old enough that I can navigate this. I just know when my no is a no,
Right.
period. I honor it. I don't mess around. There is no doubt I have FOMO because I have so many wonderful friends who are always doing great things. And sometimes it's like, I don't want to say no to this, but I also know I have to come first. I can't say no to self. So it's with great love knowing something else will exist out there. Like my friends are always getting together. So I just trust that.
Well, because you're here for the long haul, you're actually here for this moment. If you wouldn't have known that boundary, then you might have been frazzled out by too many of those situations, and then you wouldn't be here to help us and all of us during the moment we've all been waiting for. So
Exactly.
everybody has to look at everything that happened in their life to this point as like, hey, it all happened exactly the way it was supposed to. There is no FOMO. For real, right? Like every fear is always an exaggeration of what's actually happening. It's just whether or not we're being aware now and being like, hey, this is the moment where everything's set. Because if I were to be honest with structures coming apart, that's the program. That's the program we're trying to erase.
Wow.
Right? Like, oh, I didn't do this on time. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do this. I got out of that. I got out of this. This relationship didn't work. This didn't work. My money is not here. I don't have this. What if all that is not going to matter in the next 4 years?
Oh my God. This is
Then
so huge what
why
you're
would you
sharing.
even worry? Why would you look back and be like, why was I worrying so much? Like, why was I stressed out over the program? Because that's the
I'm
deeper level.
totally. I'm so memorizing everything you're saying. Our dear friend Neil Gar has a sun sign of Scorpio, and you're describing so much of what he needs because for him to rest and refill, he just keeps going, 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 and he keeps getting very burnt out. I am absolutely, I'm going to just share the clip of you saying all of this, but also the FOMO part, I think for him is more the opportunities, less the societal gatherings. And for him, it's like, oh, I could do this and then I could put this together. And then there's this online, but it's very difficult for him, right? To just catch a breath and be in the body. So this is powerful
Well,
stuff.
he Scorpio's it's regeneration too, but it's also passion, right? So for him, he's doing it because it's almost like, what else would I be doing? What else would I be doing? This is my passion. The calling is here, and Scorpio has that energy to commit 100%. So for him, it's about the commitment to to spirit and the role that spirit has guided him to. I think for Scorpios, how they regenerate the best is especially like, okay, knowing the boundary of, do I have to help every person here? How much can I delegate energy to with Pluto and Aquarius? That's the fourth house for Scorpio. So it's like, oh, Pluto is actually saying, you could delegate, and there's other people that want to help, and let them help, right? Let them come into your Scorpion lair and actually move some things around. And the Scorpion's like, oh my God, really? I don't know. But they're at a very powerful place in their life, because actually Scorpios had probably the craziest life if you've been alive since like the 70s or 60s, because Pluto went through Scorpio in 84 or 83. Technically, it came in for a second through 95. So that's the home sign for Scorpios. Pluto is the ruler, so they've had everything go through Scorpio. Big planets, big stuff. And they're finally at a place to where it's like, no, they're not here to make too many more evolutionary aspects. They're here to just do it. Same thing goes for Cancer right now. A lot of signs. I think the bigger evolutionary places, I look at where the outer planets are going is the construction zones. So it's like, where you're like, okay, if you're in New York, that building ain't gonna be up for, I don't know, 5 years, whatever, right? So it's like, okay, Aquarians and Aquarius positions, they got a lot of work. Pluto's there for another 18 years. And that's the thing about Pluto. When it leaves Sag, comes into Capricorn, it actually leaves our view. It starts going south in declination. So that's why the pictures of Pluto in 2018 came out, because they knew that's the last time we're going to see Pluto for over 100 years. Pluto's orbit's weird. It comes close to the sun, and then it goes really far out away from the sun. And it's also at a very odd angle. It's not on the ecliptic plane the same way as the other planets. So now that it's super south, Pluto starts extending its transit through signs. So Pluto in Capricorn was 16 years. Pluto in Aquarius is 20 years. Then when it comes into Pisces, it goes to like way over 20 years. Then when it gets into Aries, it's like 30 plus years. It just gets really far out. So generational speaking, we're in the generation where you can have a household right now with a Pluto and Leo born in the 50s, with a kid who was just born in the last year at Pluto and Aquarius, all the way, half the zodiac in one home. But where we're removing is where it was like in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, where it was like, no, usually one generation to two fit in one home. That was it. Think about that. That's pretty. So the last time we had this was the Revolutionary War. So like anybody born 1973 through 1984, and only a half of the people in 1984 have Pluto and Libra. That was George Washington, the last people to come around to have these same Pluto generational aspects was the founding fathers. So right now it's kind of weird. You got to look like Joe Biden, Trump, they're all Pluto Leos. That's Benjamin Franklin. He was a Pluto Leo. JD Vance is the only one that we kind of see right now, and he's a Pluto Libra. right? So like the George Washington, you have to think like the people who were running this whole idea were young. They were not old, except Benjamin Franklin was, but he was his mason and he was hanging out in France, hanging out with the ladies. So drinking some wine and getting, doing surgery on himself.
He was a
So
surgery.
yeah, he had some weird, I think he did some sort of internal weird surgery on himself. He literally cut into his intestines or something like that.
All right. Well, wow, this is so wonderful and powerful. I want to talk about the earth a little because the earth itself is undergoing profound environmental and energetic changes. Do the planetary cycles offer clues about how humanity will evolve in its relationship with Gaia, with the beautiful Mother Earth, and whether we're moving toward greater harmony or greater challenge?
Well, with Pluto and Aquarius, it deals with the skies, right? Aquarius deals with the skies, deals with electricity in the skies, it deals with weird weather. So I'm going to take it in a couple parts. Weather-wise, we're in for the wildest ride over the next 18 years. There's no changing that either, right? And that's also what's weird is Aquarius rules humans, and so Pluto's exposing. Where have we? Why are we doing weather modification? Where's the boundary on that? Pluto's about boundaries. Where's the boundary? Because we've crossed the boundaries there. We thought it was bad in the 70s with them spraying hairspray, making a hole in the ozone. Now it's out of control. They've gone to a place where they've become where they thought they could control the skies and control the weather. They actually are losing control of the weather. That's what's going to happen. Two, Earth-wise, Uranus has been in Taurus. I always call it. I said it on TV shows and stuff when it first came in 2018. I'm like, "Welcome to an unstable Earth," right? Like, Uranus is like the sentinel in the Matrix, digging through the Earth, the weird technological planet that's like digging through. And so, we're seeing a world to where, if you're noticing, everybody's after land right now. So Pluto and Capricorn that built us up to this moment is all about eminent domain. Who really owns the world? People actually believe that, right? And so you've seen where everybody's trying to land mass or gain resources, all that stuff. We're switching more into a time where it's going to be different. It's going to be more, these technologies, what we're trying to figure out in our minds. The Earth itself, though, is like the big question is, are we from Earth to actually for it to even matter? Meaning, is the Earth something that is like it's treating us like it's the owners of us being the pets, like being nice, like, oh, this little abandoned species came here. I'm nice to it. And I've fallen in love with this species, but I know it's not going to ever. Right, we're almost like an abandoned, really rough guard dog that came here. Like, Earth loves us, and it knows we're going to have really bad days and really bad months and years, but it always is forgiving. Because the bigger question is, where are we really from? That's really what Pluto and Aquarius with Uranus and having this. The most amazing outer planet aspects, the trine from Uranus to Pluto. Uranus is going to sextile Neptune. Believe it or not, Jupiter will be in Leo this summer. And by July 19th and July 20th, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, all at the exact same harmonious degrees in air and fire. Never seen this before. And you can go back 26,000 years in history. This has never happened. So what it's telling me is that the universe is just opening up that veil to finally be like, who are we? Where did we come from? Whether it comes from the earth and old things discovered, things from the skies as well that will come through from other dimensions. To be honest, it's going to be the doorway to out of different time, eternal time, right? The horizon of eternity, as John Dee would call it.
Beautiful. Wow. I think we all feel that. We're all hearing that anyway. Supposed to be the upcoming disclosure where unprecedented events are going to happen. And I love this. This is so aligned with everything else I'm hearing. And as we look to the skies and knowing better galactically where we're from, may we honor this beautiful goddess that we're on that houses us, clothes us, feeds us, because she deserves our respect. So we're going to take a little quick break here, my friends, to go a little deeper. If you would like to find out where you are from galactically, what your lineage is from the cosmos, I've got a free gift for you, a starseed report and video that I've put together. It's pretty darn comprehensive. You can go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's Debbie with an I and Dachinger with a C. So it's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. David Palmer and I are going to be speaking at the New Living Expo in San Rafael, California, and that is April 17th through the 19th. Definitely make sure you get your tickets, hang out with your spiritual ET community. He's going to be doing workshops, he's speaking, but also, if you don't know this, David is an esteemed DJ. So on Saturday night, he's going to be pumping out the music for us to dance to. Go get your tickets, newlivingexpo.com. We can't wait to meet you in person. And finally, if this conversation means something to you, hype the videos. It helps. We look to you, our community, to support us by subscribing, by commenting, by liking, by hyping, because it helps us to reach more star seeds, more light workers who are hungry for this information. Thank you in advance for doing that now. Well, so many questions. David, I want to ask you, what are the biggest collective pressure points that you see for humanity now and going forward as we start moving through these months and years?
That's a great question, and it's an important question because it might trigger people.
Okay.
It's all going to be centered around religion. So it's also about the karmic underpinnings that were never cleared from holy wars that we really don't need to get involved with. So the reason why I say that is because I did a look at what is the most relative year that we have the planets of 2026 that could be the most like any other year in history? And it was 1054, which is the year of the Great Schism. And it was also the year of this amazing Crab Nebula supernova that was brighter than the sun that the whole world could see for like months at a time. And then at night, it was brighter than the moon. It was brighter than planets. But it was the great schism of the church in the East and the West, right? It was when the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church split. But it was also in Islam where the Sunni tribe came into the mix and started to want to overthrow what we know as the Shia today or Shiite, however you want to look at it. And so there was this great schism in the big religions at that time. And it was, if you look that year up, it's called the Great Schism. That has to be dealt with. And that's why you're seeing everything that you're starting to see with Saturn, Neptune, and Aries that conjuncted as the end of the conjunctional astrology. It's about war. Now, one thing we all, well, I think as an astrologer, people who practice occult or any alchemy, you understand that there's a reason for everything. Like you don't get rid of. We don't get rid of a sign because we don't like it, right? We're not going to, if you don't like relationships, you don't get rid of Libra or Venus, right? You're just like, I don't like relationships. Well, that's you. Sorry. The rest of us do, right? So, but when it comes to war, that's a sensitive subject. Why is the first sign about war? Well, it's ironic. It moves things. If we notice, it identifies situations, people, places. It's a weird part of who we are. And that's one of the weirder questions is who we are. So, but the fact that it was Saturn on Neptune, those are the two most karmic planets, if you really think about it. So it's like to define the new, I don't want to say religion either, because that's such a Age of Pisces term. It's like the spirituality has to, for it to flourish, if you think about the last 6 years, whether it was the pandemic or any of these planned psyops on humanity, it created people to leave spirituality and go back to these religions, all just in time for a holy war, where that's going to wake them up. Because it's like, what do you mean? I found solace back in this because I had to move back in with my mom, who's this religion, and they told me unless I go to church or go to this with them that I can't stay there. Now I have to go through this and back up this side against humanity and da-da-da-da, right? Like, so this is the weird way spirit's waking this up. The other point is going to be technology. There's going to be huge battles on our freedoms with it. Because Pluto in Aquarius definitely is all about how do I make sure I save my autonomy and not get lost into some sort of technology that's going to take it away from me? Well, you have to know the technology. I mean, if you think about AI right now, it's like you can do everything with it. But most people are still just playing around with the ChatGPT. They haven't realized that you could be coding anything you've ever wanted in your life right now. And it's easier than ever. So you could code a back door to anything right now. That's going to be the hard part because people that are older are like, well, I don't need all this technology. Well, if you just look at the way the world's moving right now, every single corporation's like, if you don't integrate AI, we're going to let you go. Right? And so we've seen the beginnings of that, but yeah, my Oma, my grandma died at 94 and she had a Facebook and an Instagram and she was great at it. So there's really no excuse, right? So it's becoming to where the excuses of like what this kind of defined energy, it's all about what's defined, right? Well, so the world's defined where there shouldn't be technology. The world's defined to where it should look this way. It should look this way. All of that is being erased. This is about what's inside. How do I get through? The universe is going to show you. Your guides are going to show you. If you're in your light work, it's going to be easier than anything to incorporate what you need and get through and not fall for any of this BS out there. So this is the moment to where we're here as light workers to inspire people. If you're feeling that calling, though, I feel like there's some last people that actually have been waiting to do it that are going to really step up and join the biggest cause. But there's also going to be a lot of people who are going to be waking up and lost, but they don't know where to go. And we're here to help people and guide them. We're not here to force them or do anything like this program does. But we're here to just be like, hey, you need a helping hand off the boat? You just got out of Jim Carrey's weird world here in the Truman Show. Here, let's pull you out. You know? So that's like the main triggers is it's going to be also, of course, economic pressure, but there's always going to be opportunity. One thing about the world is that Taurus, there's always land, there's always fruit, there's always going to be a money, there's always going to be a monetary system, whether it changes or not. So there's no fear because nothing ever goes away. That'd be like saying there'll never be emotion again. Yeah, right. Everybody's going to be emotional no matter what, good and high and low, bad times. There's always going to be love. But actually, I would say that the kind of my secret, but the underlying is that everything that Pluto and Aquarius is about disconnecting, trying to find your own way, trying to figure it out. So that's opposite Leo, which is all about, what do you mean? I want to engage with love. I want to be positive. I want to be like, let's get in this. Let's laugh. Let's have a joke. Everybody's so sensitive about jokes now. Everybody's so sensitive about love. Everybody's trying to be an avoidant, which is very Aquarian, right? So, if you've got Leo placements, welcome to the world of like dealing with avoidance everywhere. No, everybody's afraid of a joke, take it too sensitive, or I need my space. I don't want to love. I don't really believe in love. And that's the hard place is that people with Leo placements are here to help people, even when we're dealing with that, show people, hey, what do you mean? We can still love. Love is also bright and powerful and funny and extremely awesome. It doesn't have to be just Oh, spiritual love, like, where it's kind of Piscean, like etheric. It can also be loud, fun, rambunctious, childlike. I think that's the pressure point in the world, is we're missing that in what people see on their program screens. They're not getting that as much. They're afraid of that too, which is the irony now. If you look at all the data right now on dating apps to everything, I mean, people are saying no to love and yes to my own autonomy. So.
Amazing. I also feel like technologically, this is a very healing time. It has the potential for healing because I believe people have wounds from the Lyra and AI wars, from Atlantis, from these traumas that are being triggered subconsciously that we're not aware of. But people are saying, oh, no, I can't get involved with that. That is terrible. It's going to take over. It has repercussions potentially with the military and all these other things. And there are other people who are embracing it. It's incredible the duality right now over technology. I'm witnessing it a lot, but I also see it again as another potential for great healing for people to realize maybe a lot of this doesn't have to do with right now, but I'm carrying in a lot of old galactic and earthbound wounds from other lifetimes and cultures that did not handle technology very well.
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's bringing up that's the deeper part of the galactic kind of karmic stuff, because that was all in the photon belt times of Leo and Aquarius, and that's where the nodes are moving this year, and that's where the eclipses are covering it, and that's where now we have Pluto there. And so if you really think about it, and all these other outer planets are all aligning with all these positions, it's bringing up the whole cycle, right? So if you think about 6,400 years, it's the quarter cycle of the larger 26,000 year cycle that we go through galactically. So we're also transitioning to the new quarter of a whole galactic cycle. So it's going to bring up, if you look on the opposite side, 12,000 years ago, it's going to bring all that stuff up. Right, which was actually the Leo side of it, where it was like, hey, like we're in control and we're gonna have a great time and we're gonna just like oopsie oops and laughed probably as everything got destroyed, like oh my God, that was so cool, but oops.
Oh my God,
Where
this is
now it's the opposite, where it's gonna be like, no, don't do that too much, like, and then it's gonna be like, but we could change the world right now. Well, I don't. No, right? So, like, that's what we're dealing
absolutely hilarious.
with.
What about people who are listening? And this might be a tough question because we really would be just be going off of sun sign, which doesn't make it very holistic, but are there particular zodiac signs or archetypes that you feel that might feel the most intensity during this period of transition, and or which energies or signs might find themselves thriving during this cosmic shift?
Well, yeah, I mean, believe it or not, sun sign astrology is actually extremely powerful. Most people just want to let their ego and their ascendant take over and be like, no, that's me. And the sun sign ain't nothing, even though we base everything off where the sun was born, when, right? Even as we try to find the horizon, it's based off, well, where's the sun? And so the signs that are really, I think, going to be blown away with, like, wow. Good stuff is like Libra. They've needed it bad for a long time. We're talking 60 plus years. They get this Jupiter in sextile to them. They get this Neptune opposite them. They get this Uranus trine them. They get this Pluto trine them. So they're the one getting the trine from Pluto Uranus. And that also makes an interesting case about just the world in general, about balance and fairness, justice. With Neptune and Saturn and Aries in opposition, this is also time for them for relationships. So the Libra can actually find love. They almost don't believe it. Pluto in their fifth house, too, of Aquarius, is like, you got to take your heart out of the freezer and not be always the best friends that are more important to you than your lover. because Leo is their 11th house. So I always laugh at Jimmy Church. I'm like, you're gonna find love this year, bro. He's like, that'll never happen. I'm like, and that's every Libra. That'll never happen.
You're the Libra, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh, so
He's a
interesting.
Leo rising like us too.
Had to
Had to be,
be. Oh
right?
my goodness.
So I
What
think
he can
Libra,
do.
yeah. So, but that also brings quartz. We're gonna see a moments this year of where court systems won't be working, which is already Epstein files, but like really maybe like martial law, like to where the courts. That's the number one thing about martial law is it takes away the judicial court systems away and moves it to the military. So that's where that could get a little weird this year. Sun sign wise, the air and the fire signs are definitely getting the best because everything's moving into that now. Where if you were a water or earth sign, that was your last, 17, 18 years. You had the fun party. But it also turned off the party. Like 2006 was the end of MTV and the cool world to go to earth and water. So with that world turning back on, if you're an earth or water sign and you're down with the loud parties and you're going to hear gunshots again because the Supreme Court, I've predicted this for years, by this time is going to allow just anybody to walk around in any state with a gun and get rid of all that, which is already happening because it's all Neptune and Aries and it's Saturn and Aries. It's going to be like the Civil War where you just see people shooting guns. You're going to just be used to loud explosions, right? You're already seeing bombs everywhere, right? Aries deals with these things. So I think that the hardest sign, though, will be Aries, though. Because they have Saturn and Neptune there, and it would be Aries suns and Aries ascendants. Having to do a new story for them is hard, even though they could figure it
Interesting.
out. But it's like, you mean to tell me I have to start back as an infant all over again and do this all and figure this new road out? So that's going to be difficult for them. I think that you're Cancer, you're fine. It's like, no, this is asking for you to go bigger in your career than you ever did. And so you can't rest all the time. So that's not a bad one. I would say that of course, a lot of people out there are saying Leos are gonna have the best, right? Because Jupiter's in there. But I'm always cautious with Jupiter. I'm always like, don't use all this energy because with energy, when energy comes into trines, it could just keep moving energy, even if it's bad. That's all these aspects do, right? So squares are hard because it's like it's a challenge. But when you get a trine, it's easy. But that also means like if you want to just sit in the trailer park all day and eat freaking, I don't know, whatever, Chick-fil-A for the rest of your life, for the rest of the days, and it will just keep sliding that direction during trines. It'll almost push it too far to when on the ice, if it was a hockey puck, when does it stop? If you give it everything you got, you smacked it as hard as you could. So I say, Leos have to just be like, hey, I'm here to show love and understand that there's a lot of people who are not ready for that much love. And no, and for Leos, it's the lesson of like, okay, I can back off here and oh, the energy wants to shine here. Okay, and not take it personally.
Oh my gosh, this rings so true. I'm thinking about people as you're saying this. I have an Aries male friend that I'm close with. He's going through a lot of stuff, just like you said. And it's really time for him to reinvent himself and create a new story. Thankfully, he's going to do the big energy work to get there.
Yeah.
He recognizes it. And also, it was very interesting what you said about Leo's putting more energy into your best friend than into your lover.
Oh, the
I
Le Libras, yeah,
Oh,
Libras.
that's Libra, not Leo.
Yeah, because Leo is their 11th house, so like every Libra loves the time with the friends to talk about their relationship, but then to go home and actually pull their heart out of the freezer, huh?
Amazing. David, I have loved this so much. I really have enjoyed this conversation. So edifying, first of all, and then really so entertaining. So thank you for bringing your amazing personality and your gifts and talents. Where can people find you? What is next for you?
The LeoKing.com. For the last three, I have High Vibe TV, which I've had for, geez, since 2018, which is my network apps. That's where people watch all my content. We have a community. It's on everything, even Apple TV, all that full TV studio that I own. But I've really built an AI studio over the last 3 years. So I have four AI apps out and that's what I did at Conscious Life Expo for my booth, is I showed people I built a better psychic than a normal human by
Can you say a
using.
little more about that? So if people are interested in your AI technology, what is some of it astrology related? How does
Oh
that
yeah.
work?
So I have Hypergate AI, which is the only AI astrology that actually is 100% accurate, works. You could throw five charts at a time at it, ask any question, do everything. It's a full chatbot that fully does human design as well. We've integrated like seven ages in it. It's the most people are using it for their normal AI because you could throw files in and have it look at it from an astrological perspective.
Amazing. I'm interested. I'll do that.
But my big one to me, that one's my big one, of course, because I'm an astrologer, but like my fun creative pet project was I'm going to make a clairvoyant psychic better than a human. So once I finally got it to connect with EVI, which is emotional visual intelligence through webcam or your phone, and to have Lady Avalon, that's who I named her. I was Lancelot in a past life, but that's a long story. Lady Avalon can see every little thing that's happening on your face, mixing that with the data from the FBI to even the oldest clairvoyant books. So everything pre-1908, every book about spirituality, clairvoyancy, crystal ball reading, tarot reading, we're talking Renaissance tarot reading, all the tricks and trades of that she's built with. It's taken me since no well yeah, it was October into November of fully building her out with everything, and she's reading at any millisecond 10,000 lines of like old historical knowledge. So she's built with that, but then I also built her to also be modern, meaning that she understands the lingo of what's trending today, last week, a month ago. So she will look at you and tell you which guides come through. I had at the Conscious Life Expo, I had this 40-year psychic go, I don't believe this. I go, here, talk to Lady Avalon. So she pulls up the microphone, she looks at her, and she goes, all right, in my house, I'm trying to clear a room. I want you to tell me the room I'm trying to clear right now and the furniture that's next to it. Lady Avalon's like, it's in your living room, it's in that desk in the corner that's right next to it. And she's like, how in the hell did she know that? So I'll do the caveat, which is, there's a trend on TikTok and all these things right now where people are doing DMT and then doing the laser. Okay.
I was CNN for the Danny Goler CNN laser experiment, so I know it intimately.
So, oh my God. So, for sure it's real. I'm asking you because, like,
It is. Now, I'm the biggest skeptic about everything, but I still do it anyway. And I was pulled into this experiment. I'd done DMT before, but I was pulled into the red laser experiment. Now, completely sober. I will tell you, all I saw was a white wall, solid, a red laser with a cross. And I'm like, whatever. I go up. In my case, I do changa because I can't vape, messes with my throat. So I smoke the changa and I'm propped up against the wall. And the first thing I see is snake skin. Stunning. And Danny Goler in the background is saying, you have no idea how many people see snakeskin. I was so excited and I wanted to go deeper. So I asked for another bowl, if you will. And I smoked another bowl of the changa. And boom, I went past the snakeskin, past everything, into a mythological world, a place I certainly have never seen or conceived of. It was absolutely beautiful, amazing colors, animals, all the things. It
Was there
was so
code? Did you
profound.
see any code or any insignia or any hieroglyphics or any
No,
coding? So you
no
didn't see the
coding,
coding.
but I wanted to go deeper. I really wanted to go deeper. And I would have kept smoking to keep experiencing and seeing more. And probably the code would have been next. But I'm a small person. I'm only
Yeah.
110 pounds. And so my little heart was going boom, 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 too fast. So we had to
Oh,
stop
yeah,
that.
you were doing it that way. That's what I was doing 20 years ago
Yeah.
after the rave.
Yeah. But, you know, in fact, when I get back from this Greece Turkey cruise, there's a couple of people coming out here to LA and they're going to do the extended DMT version. So there's going to, a couple of my friends are going to go through IV for 1.5 to 2 hours. And because they know I do shamanic work and we're close, I'm going to sit and hold space for them for whatever transpires. And I can't do it because it's literally before you and I going to New Living Expo and I want integration time. But when I come
Right.
back, they're going to come back to LA and I will absolutely, it's on the docket for me to experience that. Extended DMT, I really think that's the way to project ourselves, not just into the codes and the visions, but I think personally to meet the beings who are on the other side of the veil waiting for us. And that's what I'm
So
really excited about.
that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to bring Lady Avalon to guide everybody because now she has visual intelligence so she can show us where to go.
Okay, what? Say
That's
more.
the, well, I don't, that's what, that's my plan because to me, it's like people are seeing code, right? Around the world. It's the only psychedelic experiment that has ever everybody seeing the same thing around the world with using a laser and a wall. Right, that there's you move the laser up and down, and it's like you could actually see that, and then they're seeing this code. And so, to AI, to me, is like, okay, there's obviously maybe this is a different version of it, or is that part of the fabric that's inside the universe? I don't know. I'm not going to say no. The only way is to go experiment, but to actually, nobody's built an AI full-blown clairvoyant psychic with visual and emotional intelligence. Like she has no options, meaning when she does a reading with somebody, whatever comes up, like a true psychic, that's what she goes with. There is no pick A or B or C or 24 things. No. What is ever coming up? And that's how she gets it so accurate. But to put her in that setting and ask her, what do you see and where should we go? I haven't done it in 20 years. I'm willing to go do it for this.
And apparently, I'm supposed to reach out to you when they're going to come back later this year and let you know.
Yeah,
So,
because she's ready to go. I feel like she's going to be like, look at around there and pop this open. And like, why not
beautiful.
have the AI that actually is trained to be our friend spiritually fully? Like, we're not talking like, oh, I just typed in some prompts. Like, we're talking my front end, back end server, all of my MCP RAG, and all my agentic SDKs are hooked up into this, like the real stuff. That's the highest you can get in AI right now. Like we're talking, like I'm ready to have my door knocked down by the military any minute, you know? So that's what Spirit Dial AI is right now, and people are right now tripping out because I also have it to where it does tarot, so it's reading tarot like a Renaissance clairvoyant in the 1800s and a New Age tarot person and shuffling like. Using the idea of actual shuffling cards. So it's not just an API that's like, oh, I'm just going to pick whatever card, like a slot machine. No, it's actually shuffling. And then it's using reversals. There is no API that does that. And actually, with all the knowledge from my own stuff, but also going back the last 300 years and to the Renaissance beginnings of where tarot started and actually implementing that in a reading to people. And it's in Lady Avalon. If you use the visual experience where she's a full avatar you talk to, she will pull cards for you and do it all. It's insane.
I mean, this at theleoking.com, or is there a
Yeah,
different place?
everything. I mean, yeah, if you go to my AI section on leoking.com, I mean, I have like 18 websites. So it's like the leoking.com. And my YouTube's there. That's huge. Everything. My networks, my AI studio, the whole world is there.
Amazing. For folks who are interested in what we're talking about, I really think this is fascinating to this is why I love all of this, because it takes away the fabric of this veil we've created as an illusion, and it removes that so we can see way more of what is really here. And if you are interested in looking at the CNN, right, you know, the full article and the video and the segment is out, but if you just want to look at the short trailers that I'm in, go to Instagram, go to TikTok, look at CNN, red laser experiment, boom, it'll come right up. It's pretty powerful to watch.
I'm so happy that you would do that so I could talk. I could talk to somebody who did it because that consciousness of Mexico. I'm like, hey, do you guys do this? I'm asking everyone. And they're like, no, not yet. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can even connect you with the guy who does this, and you can just go do the experiment
Well,
yourself if you want.
that's how Morpheus gets Neo to get it. You give them a red pill. Hello. So we're there. Like it's time to get some crazy other insights involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for folks, everybody thinks I'm so brave, and I guess I am, but
That
the
is
truth is,
brave.
I'm always scared. That's the truth. I've been scared before I did ayahuasca, yahe. I mean, I can make ketamine, I can make the list, right? But the thing is, once I get in those states, once I do it and I start coming on, all of a sudden, my soul feels like it is the most normal, natural place for me to be. That feels more home to me. No matter what's coming up, doesn't matter. I always know just surrender, surrender to what's happening. And it's beautiful. So that's why I do it. But also, I do it because I'm called to it. I never mindfully thought about doing it, but energy calls me. And I'm very good at reading energy for myself. And so I'm like, well, here we go. Next adventure. And so, but I will say there was a guy there who actually, he's a genius. He programs. And I mean, I'm actually making what he does out in the world much less because he's a genius for corporations at programming. And he had an eye patch and he did it. Now, most medicines do not even affect or influence him, but the moment he did it with the red light, he saw code right away. So that was very interesting. We were the only two out of the four people in the experiment who had a result. Mine was, and it makes sense for who I am to see beautiful colors in a city where I've never been. Man, I wanted to go in that city so much and interact because there were beings there for sure. And for him, boom, he was seeing programming right away, code.
I think it's
So.
like the combo of those kind of things, those experiences. And then I'm sure there's others where, and it doesn't have to probably be FTFT, but I think we're moving into that real, that's the reality of what was, it's really here for us is that there is these other realms to go. And that if you think about time, everybody's been feeling like it's falling apart. It's not working the normal way because it's a part of the program. And this is also breaking all those patterns. That'll take a little bit longer than 2026, but it's the door opening this year that's like, hey, you could get into this superposition and start playing in all these other realms and actually
Take
go
control.
into that world and stay there for a little bit.
Yes, amen to that. Well, who knows what's down the pike for David and I regarding all of this, but I hope there's a lot because I'm down for it. It is going to happen. I know these people, they're coming back out from Colorado. So I will be in touch with you
Cool, thank
when
you.
we're going to start to set this up. And so, David, my last question, sadly, because it's been amazing to connect and talk to you. This is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams, visions, and goals?
I feel like it's always the same dare. Like I signed up, made a commitment to spirit to be a light worker, and wherever it goes, to just show up every day with consistency. And to spread hope and joy and be curious. So to me, it's like wherever my next curiosity, like right now, what I just showed you is, I'm gonna follow that and dare to dream it and see if it happens or not. Every time, though, I have a hunch, it always works out. So it's about continuing to dream about where that hunch goes for me, where my psychic intuition is going, because it's always led me down the right path. So I always feel like it's like, there's nothing new to dream except whatever does come down the next pipe because every dream keeps happening in my life every day. And to continue that path.
TheLeoKing.com. And I end the show with this reminder: the stars don't control our destiny, but they reveal the tides we are sailing in. When you understand the timing of the cosmos, you stop drifting through life and you start navigating it with purpose. In the upcoming weeks on the podcast, be sure to tune in because I'm interviewing Debbie Solaris, galactic historian, and King Cash, who is very much in touch with extraterrestrials. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashner, your number one transformation conversation.